Hello.
Vincent?
Yeah.
Miss Coulson.
Good morning, Mr. President. Well, I was just looking at the front pages of papers, and I saw that picture in one of the papers of those little kids. I guess it was a star. I thought, well, that made the whole thing worthwhile, didn't it?
Was that a marvelous shot?
And just think of those little kids, what it's going to mean to them.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
In fact, the star gave us read them all yet, but the star gave us a hell of a good story, Sherman.
Sherman really went, I saw the first part of it, yeah.
Well, he laid it out beautifully, as a matter of fact.
Laid it out the way we want it. And
gonna take just those lines and get them around to our people who keep not drawing that issue as cleanly as
just be clean. I mean, the whole point is, yes, they can have it, but they must serve, they must pay the penalty for having left the country.
That's right.
Huh?
You put that right. Yes.
Well, that's the way it is. That's the way it's always been, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what the hell our people are thinking of. What the hell are they thinking of?
Well,
they're getting to the moral and immoral war crap. That's what it really is.
Yeah.
Did anybody talk of amnesty, basically, for World War II deserters?
No.
Not really.
No.
No. We thought, what most of people thought, particularly in the Jewish press, they should all be shot.
Uh-huh.
Am I right?
That's exactly right. Well, I think the thing we need, Mr. President, is just, you did it brilliantly yesterday, and I'm sure it'll carry around the country. It's just every now and then put that issue in focus, and there's not a damn thing the government can do about it. He can scream that he's not drawing you out, he's not getting you into a debate.
That's right.
And, he can't confront you on the issues, but
well, I'm saying things.
Oh, my God, of course, and that's what's driving him crazy. That's really what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been able to best us on the issues. It was an incredible, apparently, interview last night I heard on the radio.
What was that?
Well, it was something he had taped on Friday evening, and I've asked one of my assistants to try to track it down, because it was a very pitiful, plaintive kind of a thing. He was saying, I just can't get this campaign going because I can't get Nixon to come out and talk about the issues with me. And he just doesn't want to campaign with me, and unless I can get him out and confront him on these issues, we'll never make our case to the American people.
Oh,
and
bullshit.
Everybody's against me, kind of thing. Really, a persecution template. Everybody's against me. I can't get... He didn't say that, but that
mm-hmm.
I can't get time on the networks to put my case across. I can't put my whole issues before the people, and...
You know, Alderman told me that O'Brien had filed this complaint. Why the hell didn't he file it at the time that the networks made this decision months and months ago?
Oh, sure.
There's no question here, is there?
Oh, no, no.
The networks are being very fair in this respect.
Yes.
I mean, you can buy time, can't you?
You can buy time. What he's trying to do is get a specific amount of half-hour time that earlier in the campaign they had come to both parties and said, here's what we're going to do, and nobody objected.
That's right.
Because nobody wanted half-hour time, frankly. As a matter of fact,
I don't want it.
No, and I'm a little unhappy they won't give it to him because, to me it would burn up some money and turn people off. Just bore the hell out.
Why don't you tell them to give it to him? Can they?
Well, I think he.
Wait a minute. Why doesn't Dole says he has no objection? That puts the B right on their back.
Yeah, he today is going. That's a good point.
Yeah, get the Dole to say I have no objection whatever to their selling him time. He says this is a decision on their part. We have no objection whatever if the networks want to sell them time. We want them to have every opportunity to present their case.
Uh-huh.
It's a network decision, and we have nothing to do with it.
Uh-huh.
Be sure he gets that across.
Yeah, I'll call it. That's very important, because that's good. If he wants to spend the kind of money that he'll have to spend to go on network half hour, I think it's $150,000.
Yeah.
Bucks
a pretty good thing. Pretty good piece of money.
Yeah, as I recall. He does that four times. It's fine. What the hell?
It's good.
That's all dollars that he can't spend in other kinds of media funds, which
that's
I think might do him more good than it.
Mm-hmm.
But
good.
There's a sense of frustration. I don't know how much you've read of the Sunday press. I haven't.
I read as little as I can get away with.
I have to admit I slept a little bit late this morning.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten through it all, but...
I don't read it.
There's a real sense of frustration in it, Mr. President, that even among the friendly, the people that have been generally friendly to my government, there's a sense that he's really grappling and on the defensive. As Valeriani said Friday night, I was amazed. Valeriani said that the harder the line that McGovern is taking, the more he appears to be coming across on the defensive. very desperate man. Very desperate.
Our more intellectual types in the White House staff people feel is they say, oh, don't, you know, they've always said, don't play to the Catholics, don't play to the blue collar, don't play to the Italians, because they said the real votes are out there in those suburbs among the upper middle class, you know, the 15 to 25,000 and so forth. Well, my point is, we're doing as well there as we always do, and there ain't much better we can do.
That's correct.
And basically, a lot of those people are soft, Chuck.
That's
they really are. Am I right?
Absolutely.
You see, if you thought only of those suburbs, what would you be doing? You'd be signing the water bill, right?
You'd be signing the water bill, and you'd be appealing, Mr. President, to
it. I would soften amnesty. I would copper pot. You know, that's exact. You see, that's basically.
And you would never talk about busing because that's a divisive.
Busing is divisive, and who knows? We don't want to appear to be. You see, there's really it's it. One of the things we're doing is drawing sharp issues on these things that cut into the gut issues. You also want to remember, all things are road some, Chuck. You've got to figure, I don't care whether it's Watergate or whether it's the wheat deal. People are not all that interested in sophisticated politics, so that cuts you a couple points. What's the difference?
That's exactly right. There's going to have to be something.
That kind of erosion doesn't matter in an election of this sort. It's like Johnson was probably hurt a little by the Bobby Baker thing and hurt a little by the Jenkins thing.
That's right.
But it didn't matter that much.
But who cares when you're
that
kind of a... Another point to Scanlon's, and this is important to keep in mind, I think, for all of our people inside to understand. It's not a good thing to talk about. Scanlon said when you get out on the fringes, you know, 60 to 65%,
yeah.
He said it has to be soft, and he said you have to expect it to be soft and to move back and forth. Because he said when anybody in American politics is talking about that kind of a lead in a two-way election,
yeah.
You just out there, he said, it's very, A, it's hard to measure, and B, it's got to be volatile.
Sure.
And he said, you get down into the hardcore of your support, and it's very strong. And he said, but you've got to figure that out there, you're going to show some movement back and forth. You have to figure
right.
It's too, and little things are going to affect it. The grain deal, maybe you...
Good point.
Maybe the grain deal does take a little slice off the top.
Sure.
Maybe 2 weeks from now, the governor will make some hack, and the 2 points will come back on. But it's but out there, it tends to be moving all the time.
Right.
That's the only one, the grain deal is the only one that